In just a moment, we'll get back to it. We're having a little technical glitch, nothing big. I think we'll be on in just a moment. And if you're one of those people who were with Democracy Now! Listening and you're moving into our talk radio show, we have a great co-host, Jacqueline Keeler, who is going to be hosting that show this morning. In appreciation of that, you can give a big thanks and give us a call. I'm still suggesting the $25 a month, $300 a year. And now we're going to go to
877-500-5266 onwards.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Brunchbox, located in downtown Portland at 620 Southwest 9th Avenue. Besides their Build Your Own Burger, Brunchbox serves up a menu full of burgers and sandwiches every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Lunch was provided by Little River Cafe, located in downtown Portland at 0315 Southwest Montgomery Street. Serving food made from fresh ingredients, Little River Cafe is open for breakfast and brunch daily from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Dinner was provided by Mississippi Pizza, located in North Portland at 3552 North Mississippi Avenue. Integrated into the local Portland music scene, Mississippi Pizza hosts concerts while serving pizza and drinks, open daily from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now or go online to kboo.fm/give.
Coming this Friday during KBOO's Spring Membership Drive, it's News and Public Affairs Day. From 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.,
KBOO will be highlighting the voices of our news and public affairs volunteers. This spring's News and Public Affairs Day will be featuring programs that take a critical look at data mining
and the non-great side of social media and how our lives are increasingly affected by the internet.
That's News and Public Affairs Day this Friday, April 12th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Dash is dusty, my plates are expired. Please, Mr. Officer, let me explain. I got to make it to a powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car. Got my T-bird in the glove box, I ain't got no spare. Got a feather from an eagle, I ain't got no care. The road is empty in my bottle of desire. Daylight is breaking, the sun touches fire. I got to make another powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car.
Riding in our Indian car.
get younger when we're flying down the highway, riding in our Indian cars. Riding in our Indian cars. Riding in our Indian cars.
So it's KBOO Spring Membership Drive. Please support programming like this that features voices rarely heard in mainstream media. Native voices, Indigenous voices. And so please call 877-500-5266 or join us online at kboo.org. So today on Wednesday Talk Radio, our guest is Tiffany Midge. She's a Lakota poet from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and author of The Woman Who Married a Bear, winner of the Kenyon Review Earthworks Prize for Indigenous Poetry. Midge is a contributor to McSweeney's, and she has a forthcoming book, Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese, which brings contemporary Native American humor to new audiences. Good morning, Tiffany.
Hey, Jackie. How's it going?
Good, good. So, talk a little bit about, you know, Indian humor. I actually opened with Keith Sokola because he's, you know, his stuff is pretty funny. So, and also that I should give you're listening to KBOO Portland. And the song you just heard at the top of the hour was from Keith Sokola. He is an Ojibwe musician from Minnesota.
Hey, so Indian humor. Yeah, I've got like an elevator pitch about that. the academics, they seem to always think that humor has always been a hallmark of Native culture, which, yeah, I would agree with that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole, the cultural tradition of sort of teasing and always, yeah, I think that I think I'm probably the most serious Indian person I know by far.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I always kind of hesitate to say that it's some blanket statement that, you know, oh, it's Indian humor and Indians are so funny. And while I know so many that are, including my own family, I just kind of hesitate to just throw a blanket, you know, over everything and just say, oh, Indians are hilarious. which many of us are. So the academics, you know, there's whole books written about some of this stuff. And, you know, it testifies to Native wit and, you know, and they use words like resiliency. And, you know, but for me personally, you know, I just have a fondness for sharing good stories, you know, and sharing laughter with friends, right? And for my own poetry and my own stories, I'm interested in those stories that channel, you know, inner tricksters, clowns, you know, heyokas. You know, we have those traditions within some of our Native cultures. Like for the Lakota, we have the heyoka, which is a pretty interesting figure. Some people might have seen him, or, you know, a heyoka character in the movie, you know, what was that movie? The Little Big Man.
Oh, yeah. So heyoka is, a heyoka in Lakota and Dakota culture is someone who does everything the reverse, like backwards. Like they've had a dream or a vision, and that then dictates they have to do this for the rest of their lives, right? To avoid being punished, like by the thunder beings, or it was something that people really, they really feared having happened to them. Like, but it was also a source of great power, medicine power.
Yeah. But, you know, they were, in a sense, clowns as well. And but it's way more complicated than just, you know, oh, it's the reservation comedian. I mean, it's just a lot more complicated than that. There's a lot more context. And we hear about the clowns of the Southwest. and just, you know, like tricksters from so many different nations. The contexts are all really complex, but they are sort of, in a sense, you could say that they're comedians.
Well, I think that in our creation stories, the trickster is the one who sort of sometimes sparks creation through breaking the rules, and then everyone has to sort of scramble to make what they did right, or to recreate a new world sometimes even. And so there's this aspect of humor and tricksters, which is about rebirth, reimagining who we are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, creation, people. But I, you know, in some of the sense, I feel like they're sort of the ultimate healers as well, because, you know, they have all these antics that bring, you know, things into being. And I think that's, you know, very powerful.
So your family, you're a member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, right? And and that's a place that it's been in the news a lot lately. But people, I don't think people got this notion that they were terribly funny people. The idea of Indian humor coming off of Standing Rock, it didn't really get a lot of coverage in everything that happened. You know, because it was such a how do you relate to that? Like, I mean, I think here you see your people standing up and being, you know, seen internationally for what they were doing, for their, you know, their rights, their water. Yet there's a whole aspect of who they are that didn't get any sort of, people didn't really think about that aspect of the humor that carries them through so much of the daily, you know, I guess, suffering.
I'm not exactly sure what that question was about.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
What that question was about.
Oh, so you don't, I mean, when you tell people your tribe, you get a different reaction. People have this whole kind of store of ideas about what that means. And how do you build space so they understand this other aspect that we all experience in our families, which is, you know, humor and the way it helps, you know, our families survive.
People recognize that name now. I had a student from Standing Rock at Haskell Indian Nations come up and talk to me yesterday, and that was pretty cool. But of course he knows, you know, that nation already, but people from outside, of course, that's a recognizable name now, whereas before, you know, it wasn't as much. It's a little early in the morning for me to intellectualize.
It's all right.
Mostly I can just like banter. I like going back to like Vine Deloria, whom you said at one point was a relative of yours, and he published that famous essay on Indian humor. And I always like to cite that in the book Custer Died for Your Sins, an Indian Manifesto. And, you know, it was his thought, and this is what he wrote, was that one of the best ways to understand a people is to know what makes them laugh. And laughter encompasses the limits of the soul. In humor, life is redefined and accepted. Irony and satire provide much keener insights into a group's collective psyche and values than do years of research. So that's just something that I, you know, wanted to just pin to my bulletin board.
I think you can't
every day.
Say it better than that, really. I always, okay.
Uh-huh.
So, well, ending on, yes, Vine Deloria Jr. was my grandma's first cousin. And and so he made me call him uncle because he was younger than my grandmother. So, but we have to take a short break for fundraising.
Okay.
So we'll come right back to this.
Okay.
And you are listening to Talk Radio here this Wednesday morning. Your host, Jacqueline Keeler, is here interviewing Tiffany Midge. You are, listening to this conversation, my friend. I'm Ani. I'm here with Linda. We are here at the Spring Membership Drive asking for you to support KBOO in conversations like you're hearing this morning on Talk Radio. Please call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or online you can contribute at kboo.fm.
You know, there's been a wonderful gift made available to thank you if you make a pledge right now during this show. You know, we're very lucky to have on our Wednesday Talk Radio, Jackie Keeler, Native American author, journalist, and activist, be here once a month to bring us up to date on all things Native American and to always keep us understanding a Native point of view about the issues she talks about, and I really so appreciate it. Well, her guest today, or her guest publisher, has made available to us books. The book is titled The Woman Who Married a Bear by Tiffany Midge, and it's only a $60, $5 a month, that is, contribution, and we get to give that to you as a thank you for participating in KBOO. So really, I know that you love hearing Jackie on the radio show. I always do. I like Paul Rowland's show, and I especially like it when Jackie's on as well. So the number to call is 877-500-5266. We've been hearing about Indian humor this morning. Always a great topic. Not one I've heard about very much, though I have heard recordings that are pretty darn funny. You can become a member by going to kboo.fm. That's our website, and right in the upper right-hand corner is a red banner that says donate. Push that button and you can become a member. It takes about 3 minutes. But we also have people here, real people, who would love to talk to you. The number to call is 877-500-5266. We have a substantial goal for this hour. It's $500, I believe. We can make that, but we can only make it with you calling in. And I'm going to suggest that none of you who want to make a contribution to KBOO wait when you get a chance as a gift premium. The Woman Who Married a Bear by Tiffany Midge. And it's very exciting to get to have that copy.
That's right. Call right now. And again, your contribution of $60 or more, we would love to thank you with a copy of this book by Tiffany Midge. You know that you are getting KBOO and you are supporting your community all day, every day with your contribution. So please do give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and add your strengths to the strength of other community members. Together we are much stronger than we are as individuals, and it is that collective action that wins the day. It is so important to work together to preserve independent media, and right now is your time to support KBOO. 877-500-5266 is that number to call. Make the decision to become a KBOO member. Raise your hand, stand up, and be counted as one of the 5,000 or so people that support this radio station. Let's grow that number. Please, if you have not contributed to KBOO before, this is a wonderful time to do so. If you have contributed to KBOO in the past, renew your membership right now. 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm.
And we do have some people to thank right now. We have Jeffrey from Portland, and we also have Karen from Southeast Portland, and Joyce, a renewing member from Portland. Thank you all so much. Thank you, the audience that's tuning into this show. We want you to hear what we put on the radio. We really do. And so we appreciate you just tuning your ears to us. We'd like you to tune your checkbook to us right now, though. 877-500-5266. Show your support for Native American programming. Show your support for Wednesday Talk Radio. And do it right now. Get to be part of making the goal for today's radio. It makes a difference. It keeps us on track to get the money we need to keep this station going. The number to call is 877-500-5266. We do want to hear the phone ringing just like that one there.
Absolutely. And $5 a month, go ahead and consider $5 a month as a way to support your community radio station. Add KBOO into your monthly budget and just sort of even things out here at the station and for your own finances, knowing that you are doing your part in a pretty painless way to make the world a better place. You can do it so easily and quickly by calling 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm and become a member of KBOO right now.
Great. So, Tiffany, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. So, getting back to, you're also a poet, I should say, and the book that, The Woman Who Married a Bear, is a book of poetry. It has incredible depth. We've been talking a lot about humor, which, of course, is light, but also really insightful. But, you know, your poetry takes it in a different direction, which is why we named the show, From Wit to Myth to Prayer, I think. I had seen that in a review of some of your work, and I thought that was just the perfect sort of summation of what you're doing with words. Could you talk a bit about the book of poetry that you that it actually did win the Kenyon Review Earthworks Prize for Indigenous Poetry, and they when the judges awarded it, they described the book as, in both content and form, Tiffany Midge's The Woman Who Married a Bear is the work of a mature poet. The collection offers readers an innovative representation of the social and cultural reality of contemporary Native America, in which humor is key. Its images and other poetic devices, as well as language, are singular and always carefully crafted. With this book, Midge undoubtedly establishes herself as one of the most relevant voices of her poetic generation in America. How does it feel to hear that?
I'm not sure. I think you must have had a little bit too much to drink or no. something before you wrote that.
I didn't write that. Someone else wrote that. The judges wrote that. So, yeah. Well, I mean, describe the book. I mean, your next book, Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese, it's a humor. It's a book of humor, you know. But this book of your last book of poetry, could you talk about that a bit?
Oh, sure. Well, I just want to get it off the bat as a Native American wordsmith, which, you know, I prefer the word wordsmith. I use every part of the sacred sentence. I just want to get that off the bat. But with the woman that married the bear, you know, the original impetus was that it has a running motif in the collection that has to do with my exploring traditional origin stories and creation narratives. And I was just really drawn to those stories at one point in time, and I wanted to render them in a poetic instance. I wanted to, you know, take some liberties and sort of retell them in a poetic form. And nowadays I would go and I would ask permission for those stories to be, you know, given to me as a gift. But in a sense, I could say the universe gave them to me as a gift. But that seems to be a running motif throughout the piece, and it touches on ideas insofar as, you know, the quote-unquote legends and quote-unquote myths, which is how the book has been, talked about in terms of legend and myth. But that's sort of a controversial subject. Legends and myths, because those are people's stories and that they're alive and that they're powerful and ever present. And so I don't like those words, because we, you know, they're also, you know, we say things like folklore, right? And those, yeah, so, you know, if I were to, you know, have more of a say in those things, I would definitely have left those aspects out. But as stories and creation legends, I think that there's an enormous amount of wit and enormous amount of, you know, cautionary tales, that sort of thing. Kind of in the sense that Aesop Fables is a cautionary fable. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read one?
Yeah, and please do. And I'd like to say also that, you know, speaking to the issue of myth and these sort of cultural stories, I think the difference between that and art and the kind of art that, you know, that we create in sort of a Western paradigm is that those are accountable to the people, to the nation, you know, and I mean, not that we aren't both held accountable every day for what we say and do, but from our own people, they're pretty strong about letting us know when they don't like what we say. So, or write. So, okay, yes, please do read, read a poem from that.
The first one is The Foolish Girls, and I based it on a plain story about these two, they're called them very foolish and lazy girls, who went to go visit lovers in the sky, star lovers. And so I poetically rendered that story. Sister claimed the young star, choked cherry red. When a baby, she swallowed a moth, and since, wanted wings. I took the white, who wheezed when I rode him, coughed out stories from his chest, unfathomable worlds strung like pretty beads, all compelling yet confused. My blood's a charm consumed by salt and the sweetest fat. Our hearts dished out their darkest jams, seasons passed, I wondered what hungers did we avoid from the lands below. Here, sister wears a rag, her beauty eclipsed by her glittering lover. Here, the stars keep white bones stashed in a pile. While the stars sleep, the bones rattle and tease.
That's beautiful. I like that
Thank
a lot.
You.
That's really
kind of haunting.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear these stories, and when these create, you know, these they, you know, these stories about these mythic stories, and I often find myself, I mean, to be honest, I find myself like sort of wrestling with them sometimes, like, why did they do that? You know, kind of like you're always kind of pushing back, you know, why is she going to go, you know, does, can't she tell that's like Iktomni or something? Or, you know, why is he, you know, falling for that trick or something, you know, and because they can be that way, very frustrating sometimes. And then, but of course, then the story, and when it's over, then you understand it, you know, the context. But I love rendering it that way, because then you sort of you enter more into the interior world of the story, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what, you know, as a storyteller myself, you always do ask those kind of questions, and just sort of personifying the story and trying to find new applications for it, and, you know, for your own life, kind of thing. Because, you know, I ran around as a teenager a lot, right? So that story just felt really relatable to me as a young person, you know, just like going out and having fun and, you know, doing things. You probably never did, because you were probably a really good girl.
I was pretty, I don't know, there's something, I'm just the programming, I'm very, not pedantic, I don't think that, but just sort of, I don't know. My husband says it's because I'm an Episcopalian Dakota person. I'm just like boring like that.
Boring.
So, I'm not Episcopalian now, but that was my family did that for a while. So, which is why we were on Standing Rock, actually. So, Anna.
And I have there's this other piece. It's super short, and I just wanted to read the beginning. It's Coyote's story, and it's from the Winnebago. And there's just a short piece that it cracks me up. This is a piece from my book. It's called Disbelief Suspended. There is a Winnebago story about Coyote. In order to win the hearts of the chief's handsome son, in order to win status and power, Coyote seduced the son by pretending to be a beautiful young woman. On their wedding night, Coyote fashioned a faux vagina from the liver of an elk. It was all believed, so much so that Coyote actually bore the chief's sons, but several fine, strong children. I just love that. If you just believe hard enough.
Anything. Yeah. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Yeah, I am. I love the language, actually, of the title poem, The One Who Married a Bear. Describing, you know, the lover with eyes like black hooks, you know, and some of the words, and then the whole descriptive of bringing in, you know, berries and thin plums, which of course are our food from the Great Plains, you know, and that went into like Wesna and all the food that we carried with us to sustain us, you know, and so I just love all those little sort of details to it, and so although people who aren't familiar with the culture probably wouldn't catch that, what you're putting in there, some of that, you know, but Anna.
Yeah.
Could you talk a bit about the series of poems in the book titled Wakantanka?
Those are basically just a series of coincidences. With Wakantanka, a lot of folks, you know, we think of it as, or how I understand it to be, is, you know, as a creating force or the creator. But it also is indicative of things, you know, such as the great mystery. And how I interpret that is just like the, you know, the things that are unknown or the great mystery of things beyond ourselves, or, you know, even beyond our understanding necessarily. But because I'm not, you know, a theorist of, you know, Lakota tradition, You know, I do a lot of liberty and make these interpretations in ways that I understand them. And they could be wrong, but that was what I was going for with that series of short sentences, which basically were just incidences in my life that carried a great deal of mystery through, you know, the idea of coincidences or serendipity, all those sorts of kinds of ideas.
I love
and,
that.
And yeah,
we'll have to get back to that after this another break. And but yeah, Wakantanka, the great, what often is translated as the Great Spirit. I think yeah, we'll talk some more about that. And and I love that. I have a lot to say with to talk. So we'll get back to that after this break. So
okay.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio. This is our spring membership drive. I'm Linda, and I'm with my great friend Ani here. And you've been listening to Wednesday Talk Radio with its co-host, its once a month co-host Jackie Keeler, and her great guest Tiffany Midge, who's an author and an activist as well, and she's written the book The Woman Who Married a Bear. It's one of many of her books. And so that is a gift that you can get if you call in right now at 877-500-5266 to become a member. We'll at the $5 a month level, very doable for most people. If you become a member at that, you can grab a copy of this gift. One of them has already been seized this morning. I don't have that name yet to thank you, but I want to make sure that we don't leave any copies on the table. By that we mean don't hesitate, call in right now to get that copy.
That's right. It's important to hear from you, our listeners, because in fact it is you, our grassroots support, that makes it possible. You actually, our members contribute about 80% of our operating budget. That is tremendous. That is an incredible grassroots effort that has been going on for 50 years plus, right? And so this is the moment to please know that you are a part of this important legacy and dial 877-500-5266. And your money goes so far here to make the platform big enough to have voices from so many communities sharing it. And that is the key. This station belongs to all of the communities that use it, and it belongs to all of us who are members of it. So please be a part of this community right now with your financial support at 877-500-5266. I'm going to go ahead and suggest that you give $10 every month. Please consider giving at that level, and then make the decision to do it and call 877-500-5266. That adds up to $120 over the course of a year. That support is vital to keep the station going. Your membership is vital to keep the station going. It's your participation that really makes it work. And when you give at that level, we would love to thank you with one of these books by Tiffany Midge. You're hearing the poetry. You're hearing the conversation. This is meaningful. This is meaningful radio. And right now, we are asking you to stand up and be counted amongst the KBOO community. Be a member of KBOO and support important programs just like this. 877-500-5266 is that number to call. You can also contribute online at kboo.fm, or perhaps you have the phone app. You can contribute there by tapping the phone app donate button and become a member pretty easily, just almost instantaneously.
Yes.
It works very well. Any way you do it, just do it right now. 877-500-5266.
Yes, that's the number to dial. You know, maybe you're one of those people out there that really counts on getting to hear Jackie when she's on Wednesday, that's usually the second Wednesday of the month, to remind all of you who would like to do that. Maybe you really want to hear Native news and you're grateful that KBOO has national Native news on every Friday evening news and has Rose City Native radio on 6 p.m. every Thursday evening. And we've come to a new decision recently. We're going to be dedicating 1 hour every morning on Monday from 11 to noon for Indigenous programming. So, you know, this is a station that you can get your Native news at.
It's important conversation to have, and important information to put out into the broadcast ether, right?
That's right. And you can do it really easily, and we need you to do it now. Have those dollars keep flowing in. As I said, we've already started during this show, but we need a lot more to come in. The number to call is 877-500-5266. You can pledge at the $10 a month and get one of the copy of one of these books. You can also pledge at just $60 a year, $5 a month, and get one of these books. Whatever level works for you, please take a moment right now. You know, the minimum wage is now $12 here in Portland. Maybe that's the amount you want to give. So it's 877-500-5266.
Or online, kboo.fm. Again, these are amazing conversations, and you know that you are doing your part to keep up the independent media, to in fact ensure our independence with your grassroots support. Please get a copy of this book, support community radio, do it right now, and help us raise this $500 goal for this program this morning. Talk Radio has a $500 goal. We thank Jackie Keeler very much for coming in this morning and hosting Talk Radio, and for being one of the many program producers here at KBOO. Your contributions support this platform for everyone to use. Please make that call right now. $10 a month, adding up to $120 over the course of a year. Give it that level if you can. Give what you can if you can't. Please do call right now and let us know that you're there and that you are going to be a KBOO member. 877-500-5266.
So welcome back to Wednesday Talk Radio. This is the spring drive, pledge drive. So please do call in and support Native Voices on KBOO. And we are very proud to bring you a variety. As a journalist, a Native journalist, I do travel a lot across the country. And when I come back here, I share what I've seen. I've just come back from an 8-day trip going to Cleveland, Ohio, where I was invited by the Native community there to speak on mascots and join them in the celebration of the retirement of Chief Wahoo after 50 years of activism to get rid of it. And I also then went to Chicago, and then I went to San Francisco, where I got to celebrate with another urban Native community a recent success of bringing down a racist statue, the early day statue, which showed a Catholic priest, menacingly over a prone Native man that had been there for over 100 years in the city of San Francisco, and the last 28 years or so, actually next to City Hall. So they were celebrating the removal of that statue, and that was an amazing experience to be a part of and to be invited to be a part of. And I really treasure being able to collect and to report on these stories and to share them with you here at KBOO once a month, the second Wednesday of every month. So so we are talking to Tiffany Midge. She is a Hunkpapa Lakota poet and humorist. She's a member of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. She was raised here in the Pacific Northwest. And so maybe we could talk a little bit about that. You and I are both, we are enrolled tribal members, citizens of Native nations, but we were raised like most Native people off the reservation. And you mentioned a bit about, with your poems about Wakantanka, you know, how you, through your word craft, you are kind of, you know, exploring your own relationship to that, and yet you know that it may not be culturally regarded as culturally perfect by purists, or because you are coming from the experience of being raised off the reservation.
Sure, right, yeah. It's always, it's nice to be able to relate that with you as well, Jackie, because I just feel like you're the foremost, go-to person for some of this information, because you are in Portland and you are close to me. And so I've always really liked that I share that experience with you, as I do with a lot of other folks as well. But you had said something to me a while back, and I thought it was so funny, because I also used to describe myself as the same way, because we used to say things like, are you an urban Indian? Are you a res Indian? And I used to always say, well, I'm a suburban Indian.
Yep.
And then I heard you say that about yourself once too, and I thought, oh, okay, all right, kindred.
Yep, yeah, I think, well, you know, that's actually going back to Cleveland, where I was born. My parents met there through relocation, which was a program that Congress started when they wanted to terminate tribes in the 50s. And so they decided they would relocate the young population from the reservations to urban centers. And Cleveland, believe it or not, was one of those relocation centers. And so when my parents were there in the late 60s, early 70s, there was over 20,000 young Native people in Cleveland. And then they began pushing for things like getting rid of Chief Wahoo. And they went to college there. And I think that the experience, you know, and it was obviously they would have loved to return to their own communities, but there are literally no jobs. I mean, even today, I think a couple of years ago, I saw the statistics from the Navajo Nation. You have the Navajo Nation, a tribe the size, with a reservation the size of Ireland and the population of Iceland, only generates 120 new jobs per year. So how do you go back? I mean, we are basically economic refugees. I mean, sometimes people act like we chose to leave, or we're looking down, our families are looking down on that. But actually, you know, these aren't choices, you know, and then we are raised. I mean, I think that the last U.S. Census found that like 78% of all Native people live off the reservation. And that is the vast majority of Native people. And of course, that the lack of opportunity on our reservations is directly tied to U.S. policy to make it so, you know, to make it hard to live there. And of course, you know, the Lakota Dakota people, you know, they, you know, the buffalo, you know, were decimated. And I think I didn't read it, but there was a study that came out that showed how much financially, you know, the Great Sioux Nation, the Ochanti Shokohan, how much they actually financially lost, and it was a tremendous amount of money, you know. We forget how those resources are really important to a nation, to being able to adapt, to take advantage of new opportunities economically, you know, if that is just taken from you, you know, something like your way of life, the actual financial cost of it, and how that percolates over the generations. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those resources, most definitely. I think of places like Deadwood that has all of those rich gold reserves. I think some of the biggest in the world. And not that our people were gold diggers, but, you know, a lot of folks got rich off of that.
Well, we actually bailed out the U.S. government, because after the Civil War, there was the country was bankrupt, and they it was actually the gold they got out of the Black Hills. I think it was a lot of, I want to say, billions of dollars of gold, and that went to Fort Knox and refunded this country after the Civil War. The Lakota people actually re-bankrolled the United States government after the Civil War.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't realize the Fort Knox. Wow.
Yeah. I heard as high as, a lot of billions of dollars, not just like tens of billions of dollars of gold. And we refinanced this country, basically.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to tell everyone.
I know. I saw that a guy citing that figure in a documentary, and I probably wouldn't want to check that figure, but I'm not giving the exact amount that he gave, but it was in the billions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I imagine it would be, because that's how I always thought of it. I mean, because when I read that it was one of the largest oil, you know, gold reserves, and I just thought, well, what if all of that had gone back to the Native Americans? I mean, my God, can you imagine? We'd be like Saudi Arabia or something. We'd be, you know, living in these
high-rises. We're not a poor people because of our choices. We're a poor people because of U.S. policy. This is also, I should say, a call-in show, and you can call into the studio in addition to donating money to get a copy of Tiffany Midge, Lakota poet and humorous book, The Woman Who Married a Bear. You can get that for a donation of $5 a month to support Native voices on KBOO. And you can call into the studio as well and talk to us, to Tiffany and I, at 503-231-8187. To donate, you can call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.org. One of the things I also wanted to talk about, well, with your humor, your forthcoming book, Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese, you know, where you ask the question, like, where is the Native woman, David Sedaris, or Native Annie Lamott, or, you know, these humor categories in publishing, which are packed with books by funny women and, you know, humorous social, cultural, political commentary, but there's no Native women in that. But now there's you. I think, could you talk a little bit about that, your forthcoming book, and when it will be available?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be available October the 1st, and I think it might come out a little earlier at some conferences. Like, I'm going to apply for the Montana Book Festival, and hopefully we'll be able to get copies out for that. You can pre-order it. It's coming out from the University of Nebraska Press. And it's a collection of memoir that's funny memoir, kind of, and then also some humor pieces from columns that I wrote pretty much weekly for Indian Country Today Media Network when it was still Indian Network. It's changed over to a different platform. But it's basically just observations and current events from like 2017, about the time of the election, was when I really started revving up these, anecdotal humor pieces. I think it was a way to cope with, you know, what was going on with the administration and just the disbelief, you know, and how the country, most of the country, was just utterly, going into a fetal position, basically.
Would you think,
and that was sort of my response to that.
Yeah, I definitely think that Native, Indigenous perspectives to what's happening in this country politically with the rise of Trump and the real sort of reveal of the extent of white supremacy in this country is really valuable to the conversation. And my book coming out, it's now coming out early 2020, which will actually be that'll be after the election, won't it? I guess maybe, and not sure. And it won't be after the election, it'll be in the election. But I am going to look at the issue of comparing the two standoff of two ideals exemplified by the Bundy takeovers and Standing Rock. But your what's one of your favorite pieces? I remember this piece you wrote for Indian Country Today about Rachel Dolezal. It was like a satire, it was read like me. I knew Rachel Dolezal back when she was Indigenous.
Yeah.
I included a link on our webpage to that piece because it just shows the subtle way nature of your humor, but it's very, very perceptive, you know, and it's a way of taking apart national kind of dialogues that are going on that often exclude Native people, but of which Native people have a lot of, have a lot to say, you know?
We have a lot to say. Yeah, I just wish it was more in the media, that people paid more attention to it. It's just crazy that it's not. The whole world just exploded, with this person named Rachel Dolezal, who was, pretending to, be Black, or she felt Black within herself, and she was expressing that to the outside world. And, that's been happening in Indian country, I don't know how many hundreds of years. People, it's the same exact sort of thing, this identity crisis, or this wanting to get ahead, or some sort of, self-suspect or self-hatred. Where you just, being white, is so vilified so often sometimes in this country that a lot of people want to escape that by putting on these different identities. And unfortunately, they do that so often with, Native American identity. Everyone wants a little piece of that. And we have all the famous people like Elizabeth Warren that talk about, claim that. And what was that? I heard you.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're telling me they need to take another break again. But yeah, we will. I totally agree about Elizabeth Warren. And I like one sentence you have in here, which is critical. People should read the piece. It's pretty funny. So we'll go now to back to the fun drive. Oh, to Linda. Oh, we have a caller. Okay, Linda?
No, I'm not a caller. I'm actually.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm out here in the other. We can't see each other, Jackie and I. She's two windows away in a different studio. But I am here, and I'm here to tell you how you can become a member of this wonderful station. You've been listening to Jackie Keeler and her guest, Tiffany Midge, the author of The Woman Who Married a Bear. I love that it's been about Native humor. It's so much fun to hear about Native humor and to hear the humor. And so I really want to thank them for that. And I want you to call in and thank them for being on our radio station and thank KBOO for that by making a pledge. I'm suggesting $10 a month or $120 a year. You know, with any pledge of $60 or more, you can, or with any contribution of $60 or more, we will be happy to give you a thank you gift. The book included The Woman Who Married a Bear by Tiffany Midge, the woman you've been hearing on the station. But we need to hear a phone ring, or we need to see you on the web. It's 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm and the bright red donate button on the homepage. Either way, you can become a member right now, and that's what we want you to do.
Absolutely. And this is a wonderful time to support KBOO. It is the Spring Membership Drive. It is Wednesday Talk Radio. You've been listening to Jacqueline Keeler, and she's talking to Tiffany Midge this morning. This is a wonderful program, and again, a conversation that is so valuable to have in our communities, right? 877-500-5266. This is community media. We are independent, and this is something we do together. And right now, we're asking you to do your part, and that is to step forward and be one of our grassroots supporters this morning here at KBOO. 877-500-5266. We were looking to raise $500 this morning, and together we can do it. We have two of the phone lines engaged. We have another one to go. Let's go ahead and get all of them busy this morning. It is wonderful to hear from you. It is a great start to the day. I know that when you make that call that makes such a difference, you can feel better about the rest of your day knowing that you have done tangible action to make the world a better place by calling 877-500-5266. And stepping forward and saying, yes, you support KBOO Community Radio, and you want to actually have a copy of this book, The Woman Who Married a Bear, and that is by Tiffany Midge. You're listening to the conversation this morning on Talk Radio with Jacqueline Keeler. Please, this morning, support the program. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, I was trying to scratch my head. This is Linda here, and go, where else have I heard two Native American women talking about Indian humor, Native humor? I don't think anywhere else. And I try. I listen to all sorts of radio, and including Native news and Native programming, because I so appreciate it. And I'm saying, this is KBOO bringing this to you, and I know you love that. I know you really appreciate it. So let's get those phones continuing to ring. Let's get those pledges coming in. I'm suggesting $10 a month, $120 a year, that is. And with any contribution of $60 or more, we will be happy to give you a thank you gift of the book, The Woman Who Married a Bear, by Tiffany Midge, who you've been great getting to hear on the station today. But we need you to call. It's 877-500-5266. Call like Mary, who's a renewing member from Portland. Yay, Mary. Isn't that an obnoxious number? It's actually a cowbell. I mean, noise. I love that, though, because it's a way of just sort of waking us up. Yeah, and right now, that's what I'm saying with that cowbell. Right now, call 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO, or up your contribution of KBOO if you already have a monthly contribution. Either way, it makes a difference today. It keeps us on our way to earning the money we need to keep this radio station on the air. It's kboo.fm. If you prefer to do it electronically, it's very easy. There's a red banner in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage, and you just have to click on it. If it's your phone app, I'm not sure you can always see that, but it tells you immediately how you can become a member when you go to your phone app. So you can use your smartphone at kboo.fm or call us right now at 877-500-5266.
It's easy to be overwhelmed in this political landscape, and it's easy to not know what you can do to make a difference. But right now, you can make a difference in the life of your community radio station by making us stronger with your support. Please make the call that makes that difference. 877-500-5266.
Hi, so we're back with Wednesday Talk Radio, and right now you are listening to me, Jacqueline Keeler. I am the once a month co-host, and I am a Native journalist, and I travel around the country covering Native news, and I really enjoy bringing those stories back here to KBOO, and I really do urge you all to call in and to support this sort of programming, which brings Native voices to you. And you can call 877-500-5266 or join online at kboo.org. Right now we have, I have been talking to you for the past hour to Tiffany Midd. She is a Hunkpapa Lakota poet and humorist, and she is raised in the Pacific Northwest, but she's a citizen of the nation of Standing Rock, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Tiffany?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and although you are teaching right now in Kansas, aren't you? I think they stole you away for...
Oh, yeah. I'm a fellow for the next 2 months at the University of Kansas. Yeah.
So, so you have your book coming out, Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese. We are offering your poetry book, that came out from the University of New Mexico Press, The Woman Who Married a Bear, as if people donate $5 a month. And then could you tell me, with the Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese, what's one of your favorite essays in there, pieces that you wrote?
We were discussing the one about Rachel Dolezal before, and the title of that was Red Like Me. I knew Rachel Dolezal before she, when she was Indigenous, because there was one point in her life when she said that she lived in a teepee when she was a child.
That was real. Just satire. But
yeah,
that part
was
real.
Yeah. And it had to be discussed, the idea how prevalent that is within Indian country, white folks coming out as Indian. And, so this wasn't a new story for Native Americans. We were just like, hello.
Yeah, the national media didn't pick up on that part of it. Yeah.
That's not like a new thing. Yep. Hi.
Well, it is.
It's just the whole world.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I mean, I love the. I wanted to like read one of your phrases in there, which was that you pose it as though you had met her 10 years ago when you were doing an investigative think piece on pretendianism, and then you write critical questions I wished to explore were: who are these pretendian persons? Where did they come from? Why are they here? Why did that one steal my job? What's with all the turquoise accessories and black shoe polish? And so.
So that's probably one of my favorites because it speaks to, there's actually a whole section in the book that's split up in all of these different categories. And there's a whole category or a whole chapter of just on pretendianism. Man, that's how prevalent, it is and how much of a problem that turns out to be. And we know that from, the Elizabeth Warren. I mean, talk about, that, I don't know if that conversation's still happening, but it was really turned up pretty high for a while back there.
Yeah, I wrote a piece about it for NBC News back in October, about why her DNA mm-hmm. test was so problematic. I co-wrote that with another Native journalist. And
But
it's so funny because I've written a number of pieces on pretendianism, and I have to be honest with you, when I started out as a writer or a journalist, I never thought that I would have to write. That wasn't even a topic I thought about, I thought about, using drinking water to slurry coal in Black Mesa. I was thinking about things like that, And instead, here I'm writing about pretendianism. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, any white person come up to any Indian person and say, you're not Indian enough for me, right? And it's just a devastating experience. And but at the same time, they can say the reverse. They can say, I have an Indian ancestor that I can't document, but I'm Indian too. Do you know what I mean? And that's just the privilege of white privilege, you know, and of colonization being the victors.
Right. So. And driving the narrative.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, I'd like to thank you.
White privilege.
I'd like to thank you for all you do. Tiffany Midge, Hunkpapa Lakota humorist and poet, and a Pacific Northwesterner as well, a citizen of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and also has a book coming out, Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese. And definitely call in and get a copy of her book here from kboo.org with a donation. Her book of poetry, the Kenyan Review award-winning book of poetry, The Woman Who Married a Bear. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Yeah, are we off air?
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Brunchbox, located in downtown Portland at 620 Southwest 9th Avenue. Besides their Build Your Own Burger, Brunchbox serves up a menu full of burgers and sandwiches every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Lunch was provided by Little River Cafe, located in downtown Portland at 0315 Southwest Montgomery Street. Serving food made from fresh ingredients, Little River Cafe is open for breakfast and brunch daily from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Dinner was provided by Mississippi Pizza, located in North Portland at 3552 North Mississippi Avenue. Integrated into the local Portland music scene, Mississippi Pizza hosts concerts while serving pizza and drinks, open daily from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now or go online to kboo.fm/give. KBOO would like to give...
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Le Gong on Thursday, April 11th at 7 p.m. Le Gong is a rarely screened 1935 silent movie shot entirely in Bali with a Balinese cast, mixed with a new score by Clubfoot Orchestra and Gamelan Sekar Jaya. Again, that's Le Gong.